Welcome to Call with Dads. Let's talk.
But the problem is as soon as his emotions kick in, it's just a roller coaster to hell.
Can't reason with him at that point.
No, you heard him like throwing the fit, and then this is his new nanny's first week.
Oh boy.
So I'm like, you know, let's spelling, he's getting frustrated because I also think to add to it, he has dyslexia or he's dealing with some sort of it. So luckily I'm able to help him there since I grew up with it.
Mm-hmm. How's she working out with him? I mean, is she patient with him or?
She's very patient. So I'm the one that has to be the, and I have no problem with it, but because it should be this way where I'm the one that has to enforce. So if he starts acting up, I have to jump in, calm him down.
Right.
Deal with him that way. But again, I have no problem with it. I should be the one that's dealing with all the.
Yeah, she shouldn't necessarily have to do that. I mean.
No. So for me, a lot of it's, well, it sounds like we're already getting into the topic with a father's place, but.
we have a habit of doing that.
We really do. So, but yeah, I mean, it is the fact of with the nanny, she's very patient. She's very good. We like her so far. We think she's going to be doing great. And my place, I feel, is like I need to be the one that I direct her, but I guide her like I should guide my entire family.
Sure.
In the sense of, oh, Criminy, this is your privileges. These are the things that you had. These are the consequences of your actions, be good or be bad. Like, I constantly tell my kids, whatever you're doing, remember, there's good consequences and there's bad consequences.
That's
which
right.
Consequences do you want to deal with?
Mm-hmm.
It's things along the lines of everything we do has consequences. So, like, earlier, and no one's heard this on the video, but, like, my son screaming when getting all worked up because of his emotionals and what's a have ya, I had to go out there and calm him down. Tell him, remind him, bad manners, bad behavior equals bad consequences. So, I mean, I was talking to another dad in the co-op that we're part of. Good guy, get along with him well. I think he's nice and I think he's smart, at least in the areas that he talks about. So that impresses me, having somebody intelligent to have a conversation with that's besides us and my family. And it seems like a lot of times people are all this, but one thing that he was mentioning was how it just bothers him to hear fathers go, please do this. And not like when I tell my kids to do something, it's, hey, you need to please do this before I have to ask you again. The first time's polite. The second time is less polite. The third time is nowhere near it.
Right. Absolutely.
And I think for him, he was talking about a lot of fathers that he hears is, oh, will you please do this? Can you please do this? I'm just asking you, please stop doing this.
Please, Jimmy, stop.
Like, yeah. And I'm like, stop doing it. Mm-hmm. Please get this picked up before I have to ask you a second time.
Right.
It's not.
You're almost
please.
You're almost pleading, you know, it's such a subservient position to place yourself in. And it's not that you should be like domineering as a father, but you should certainly be dominant as a father.
Yes.
And those are very different things, you know?
I agree. Yeah. So you shouldn't be begging your kids to take care of something, pick up their mess, do their homework.
Right.
I believe there's being polite in doing it.
You should definitely emulate courtesy and politeness. I mean, that's our role in the home as well, is to be an example for our kids to look up to and to model themselves after. And politeness and courtesy absolutely have a place, but there's a point where it goes out the door.
Exactly. And I think the big problem is a lot of people are believing that they should just, I don't know, maybe it's I forget what the younger generation having kids now is. But is it millennials?
I think Gen X is the next. I'm not really sure.
No, I'm Gen X. I know people I grew up with. I'm at the end of Gen X, and I know the people I grew up with, some of them are grandparents now.
Well, I thought Gen X came after the millennials. I don't really know.
No. I think it's Gen X, millennials, Gen Z.
Maybe it's Gen Z. That makes sense.
Yeah, so Gen X was the 90s, or we grew up in the 80s and 90s and all that stuff. Ugh, I need to get a new chair. Either that or I need to lose weight, one of the two.
Maybe both. Okay.
I did weigh myself. I'm over 200 pounds now, and luckily it's not all jiggly mass, but the fact is like I think a lot of these younger generations who were raised by the Gen Xers, like people like me and the older people, where it was, we weren't told, hey, do this. Like, I'm considered nice with how strict I am with my kids in that sense compared to what I grew up with.
Right.
Like,
Thank you, baby. My wife is bringing me coffee, and there's chaos on the other side of the door.
I
I'll be there in a
understand.
minute. Thank
Just put that fire out a little longer. Oh, geez.
you.
But yeah, I think a lot of it is kids nowadays, or kids, parents nowadays. A lot of the parents nowadays seem like kids to me. They were raised by Gen Xers who, like me, I believe in spanking if the kid deserves. I don't mean beating, but spanking. I believe in being strict, being straightforward, teaching your kids a true firm form of sarcasm and using sarcasm properly. I mean, my kids listen to 90s grunge music occasionally with me. My daughter dances to pirate songs and Irish music and like the weird stuff that, and now it's like people are, oh, well, you have to talk everything through. You have to be polite about everything. You have to be encouraging them. And they are, I think they're, a lot of them are trying to rebel against the upbringing they had. I can do it better. I'm not going to be my parents. I'm not going to, and I think like my generation grew up where we didn't have the technology. Like, I remember I was, millennials grew up with having tech their entire lives. The majority of Gen Xers grew up without tech, except for like, I think a small window of us grew up where I was in high school when AOL came out.
Yeah,
And
I was pretty close to that.
yeah, I was going to say, I think, no, maybe junior high.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 46.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think 46. I'll be 47 this year.
Okay.
I always have to think about it. But so I grew up, like, I was born back in the end of the 70s, the beginning of the 80s. And I grew up knowing internet and knowing like landlines dialing home because you didn't have, and answer machines that ran on cassette tapes. And for anyone that doesn't know what a cassette tape is, so, but it's like I grew up with that. And I grew up that you're strong. Plus, on top of that, I grew up in a rural farm town
Sure.
where at the time we had a blinking light. Blinking light's gone now. I don't think they qualify with the amount of people living there to have a blinking light. So the whole thing comes down to is that with everything I grew up with and how I'm raising my kids are basically being raised the same way that a lot of kids raising kids now dealt with. And my goal is to kind of, luckily, I get to homeschool so I can guide them down a proper path. But the kids now that are raising kids, you have teachers that are teaching their kids, oh, well, you don't have to put up with what your parents tell you. Your parents are not always right. Your parents are this, so on and so on. And
Yeah,
then you have
I think
parents.
the adversarial dynamic between educators and teachers has been to the detriment of our society, without a doubt.
Yeah. And I think a big part of that is parents aren't really, it seems like more and more parents are starting to stand up and fight against what the schools are doing. But I think a lot of it also boils down to parents, especially fathers, they've been told, you don't matter. You're not important in the home. Every if you're gone or not, nothing matters for you.
90s sitcoms taught him that.
Exactly. Well, most of them. There are some like.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you look at it. What was it? Even Married with Children. You would sit there and think, oh, the father's Al Bundy was bad, blah blah blah. But if you ever watch it, Al Bundy was always there for his wife. He might have made bad comments and what so have you. He, if somebody did something bad to his daughter, he punched the boy in the face.
I remember watching it as a kid, but I haven't watched it closely as an adult, to be honest with you, to see.
I'll tell you what, I watched a couple episodes and some clips as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And as an adult, it gives you a whole different view, because even though, like, Al, if you think about it, he worked a job, his wife didn't work, he had a house, he acted like it wasn't a great house,
mm-hmm.
but if you think about it, he lived right next to a lady that worked at a bank, or I forget what, I think her name was Darcy, what she did, but had a good job, all this, and it wasn't like it was a bad neighborhood from what it appeared, but he had a house, he provided for his family, his wife helped with the kids, she was interesting. It was basically a weird dynamic of a family, at least it appears as a weird dynamic now, but Al in that show stood up for his family. It was, he might make a joke, but if somebody made a joke about his wife, he would punch him. And that was like in Tool Time with Tim Allen.
I was just going to mention that. We started watching that recently.
Yeah, that's
only watched
a
couple
show.
Episodes. It is. I mean, there's also a lot of dynamics that go on there that I think was the kind of the beginning of, you know, like the most recent wave of feminism and stuff. Like in the first couple episodes, you know, she's kind of complaining about being at home with the kids and how she needs to get a job. She's got to get out of the house. And, you know, he kind of like succumbs to her authority like many times over. And it's he's kind of framed as like an idiot in a lot of ways, you know, like when he's in the garage, like tinkering with these things, and he's got these like harebrained ideas, and she doesn't support him at all. She just kind of is like, oh, okay, whatever. And then she inevitably ends up being right. You know, everything goes haywire, and she was right all along. He was incompetent. And I'm just like, man, this is just kind of like, as an adult now, thinking about it and watching that show, I'm just like, man, this is, and maybe it changes in the later seasons, I don't know. But just the first couple episodes we started watching, and I told my wife, I was like, I don't know. I mean, this is funny, but I don't know if I want to, I don't know if I want my kids watching this show. You know what I mean?
Right. And I mean, I think it showed the, so I don't remember the beginning episodes. I remember the later episodes, because if I remember correctly, she never got a job.
Okay.
And if she did, I don't remember it. But if I remember correctly, it focused a lot on the main character, Tim, being very focused on his family, focused on doing the best job he can so that his family can have a good life, and so on and so on. I think a lot of it comes down to the shows that came out after, like, that era of shows, because you had the shows before it that would show dads, and then dads would be important. Dads would be somebody that you would...
Little House on the Prairie is one of my favorites.
A good show. I mean, the dad was a screw up, but an
amazing series. And Little House on the Prairie?
Was he Little House on the Prairie? That's, the dad was always trying to come up with a, knows the books that were, that he was the screw up. I don't remember the show very well.
No, I've read the books and the show. We watched the show with our kids recently, and
I think he's something different.
Possibly. He's a pretty upright citizen. I mean, he's constantly, you know, going to great lengths to provide for his family. I mean, they certainly are not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination, that's for sure.
No, but he has like a ton of get rich plans and things.
No,
like,
maybe I don't think
I must
so.
I must be thinking of a different set.
Could be. So, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. There's a lot of those shows from back in the day. No, but Little House on the Prairie for us has always been a kind of a staple in our household. It's very feel good, you know, that's for sure.
Right.
But it just demonstrates good values. His relationship with his wife is amazing, honestly. And he's always working hard to provide. Like I said, they're not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination, and they live in a really tough time, obviously, in a small community. And actually, the wealthy members of the community are actually portrayed in a very negative light. Like, not that they demonize wealth, but Nelson is his name. He owns the local general store, and his wife is very like dominant. She's very like catty, very like high society. She thinks very highly of herself, and he's very, to use a term, he's very whipped. He's very passive. His kids are just like total brats. It's pretty interesting actually, but a lot of the men in that community are portrayed as like upstanding men, and they face a lot of really hard times. And
I'll
if
have
it's
to look at it because I thought I remembered it, but obviously, because I remember reading what I thought was what my memory now it
I mean,
was.
our
I thought,
memory is always faulty, man.
yeah, it
Like I
is.
said, it
But
just
I
it goes
think,
to show watching something with a fresh mind now, it has kind of a different take,
oh yeah.
And
So, but that goes back to what we were starting to talk about with the whole, you have so much before, like our generation growing up, we watch fathers being in the home. You'd have goofy fathers, you'd have like the sitcoms or things like that. You'd have, but there was always the example of a strong father in the home. And then you had the whole thing where you had stuff like what is it? There's shows now where kids watch like Peppa Pig, I think it is, where they're always.
Peppa is pretty terrible in that show. She's got a pretty horrible attitude, and I just not a good example. I think Bluey's better, but Bluey I feel like is an unusual example. For the most part, I think they're modern shows are pretty rough. And heaven forbid something like The Simpsons or Family Guy, which the dad is just the blatantly obvious comic relief. I don't know, it's not a good look,
Right. So it's, but yeah, I mean, you, but like Peppa Pig, and I've never watched Bluey, so I can't speak to it. We limit a lot of what we watch, but like I can speak Peppa Pig, they're always negative to the father. What is the Llama Llama? There is no father in anywhere in there.
I've never
And
seen.
I think, well, it's a book series.
Oh.
And I think the author
Oh,
of
long.
that.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay, yeah. I have seen a few of those books actually, yeah.
And I think the author even confirmed that it's a single mother. So, and again, this is going back to memory. So if I'm wrong, put it in the comments and tell me. But
Tell us we're wrong. We like being told we're wrong, actually.
you know, if I'm wrong, I'd rather know that I'm wrong than, but I mean, you look at the stuff that's coming out now, it's all about woman power. The men don't matter. And younger men seem to be getting up, standing up again about their rights. They're not trash. They're not this. They're good people, et cetera, et cetera. And I think what it is a lot of between the schools tearing down men, telling kids that your parents don't matter, trying to break up that family structure, because the more you have a weak family. And a weak family starts without a father in the picture. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, for many years, it was just my mom and I. My brother lived with my dad. And then my stepfather came in, and he was a huge part of my life. But it's still the fact of if you don't have a strong father in your life, then masculinity is not going to show. You're not, even for girls, they're not going to learn what a strong guy is. They're going to think that they need to run everything. They need to do all this stuff. And that's why divorces are high, because men don't feel like they have a place in the family anymore. And I think people like us and people like the,
Well,
like,
men also give up very
yeah.
easily, and
Oh, yeah.
and
So,
man marriage in general is demonized. That's a whole nother can of worms.
oh yeah, what is it? There's less and less people getting married, and even less married couples having kids nowadays because they're told that why inconvenience yourself?
Right.
So,
It's no surprise to me that there's a huge surge in Christianity over the past
yeah.
couple of years. That's not surprising at all. I think people are beginning to kind of open their eyes and understand what's happening,
I think so.
There's actually some, I was gonna mention this today because I was watching a sermon with Pastor Joby Martin. I don't know if you've ever heard of him before, but he's
No.
a fascinating character, man. Probably the some of the best sermons I've ever heard preached. I'm not like a big, I attend church. I know I've said in the past I'm a theologist, not a theist. That's evolving over time. And that happens, I guess,
Yeah.
the closer you come to God, but I do like watching sermons, particularly. But he does this whole sermon on first, I actually have it right here. He does this whole sermon on 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, and it says, and this to me is like one of the best verses I think that I've ever had highlighted for me. He says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love." And he explains that he's like, listen, in the middle of that, it says, act like a man, act like men. It tells you, what the point of the verse is. And there's four spokes that come off of that that tell us what a man looks like. He's watchful, he stands firm in his faith, he's strong, and he lets all that he does be done in love. And I was like, man, that's like perfect to what we're talking about today,
Yeah.
when it comes to being a man. And it's no surprise to me that people are moving back to this kind of thing, because it's the antidote for a lot of what ails modern society. Because I mean, no, men are not that. Men are not watchful. They're not
No.
firm in their faith. They're not strong. They don't do things in love, that's why people bring up things like the patriarchy. I'm like, that's not masculinity. You know
No,
what I mean?
and I
Like the corporate executives and all the stuff that you see that are, white collar criminals, that's not masculinity. That's not what's
Right.
being described here by Paul in 1 Corinthians. That's not even
No.
close. Not even close.
I think with you mentioning it, it dawns on me, and maybe, but like, I got the idea of this topic from listening to Pastor Ron, right?
Oh,
And
yeah.
I was trying to get
He'll
him
be on
on,
again
but
soon, won't he?
he will.
Yeah.
We have several topics, and I basically have him as a on speed dial for anything we're going to talk about.
That's awesome.
So I mean, he's fantastic, and like I watch his sermons weekly and things like that. And but I do think that you have two sides of Christianity. You have people coming back to Christianity, which is great. The good side is when somebody finds a good church and a good pastor, even if it's online, like Pastor Ron says that he believes a lot more people will be doing online churches or small house churches. Like I honestly thought about
He's right.
like having like in the summertime having people come over, have coffee, and
Let's watch a sermon together. They're live. Every church in the area has streams their sermons.
oh
It's
yeah. So you either have a stream and then you talk about it, or you pick a verse out of the Bible, almost like a Bible study instead of going to a church, and you talk about it and you're able to look stuff up and even getting a like say, hey, we have a pastor on the phone that can help us talk about this
The
or
Bible is meant to be engaged with. It's not meant to just have shoved down your throat. You know what I
right.
mean? You just go and you sit in a church and listen to a sermon, once a week on Sunday and go home. That's not sufficient,
Right. But you also are not interacting with it or
That's what I
gaining.
mean.
Yeah. So I mean, but I think that like if you look at the old sermons that Jesus did and Paul did and the disciples and all the people through the Bible, when they preached, people spoke back to them, asked questions out, and they answered them in the sermons. They would talk what they would give out their message, and then they would answer questions and make sure that the people knew what was being said. Now it's more performative. It's it, and I mean, part of it is you can't be answering everyone's questions in the church within a reasonable time frame.
Big congregations and
Yeah. So it's
I thought about that. What would like a small, and this is maybe a slightly off topic, but I've thought about that. What would a small church would look like if people took turns delivering sermons? And these aren't people that went to seminary. They don't have masters in theology or doctors in theology.
right.
they're not like haven't been, you know, a pastor for 30 years. Like these are just everyday people that are, you know, learning, reading the word, learning what it means to them, you know, and they're just kind of like, hey, I read this verse and this is what it meant to me. Talk for a few minutes about it, give a small sermon, and then we can all engage. We can have a Q&A. Like you said, drink some coffee, have some muffins, you know, and we can talk about it together, you know, and, well, and all leave richer because of it.
Look at a lot of the older, the like country pastors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Pastor Ron, he is probably one of the few pastors I've ever listened to that, one, I feel engaged enough to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I use him a lot as an example, but he's been my pastor for many years.
Yeah.
And
you're lucky. A lot of people don't have that.
Oh, I know it. But we also have the opportunity to talk with him and mm-hmm. kind of expand our knowledge, thankfully, to interact with him.
Right, right.
I remember he told us his background was he worked at a company. He worked at a bunch of companies. His kids were almost raised, and he told his wife, he said, Mary, I'm going to start being a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told his company, I'm leaving. Now, he didn't go to school for being a pastor. He didn't. He just made the decision he was going to be a pastor.
It's funny because a lot of churches, they have qualifications, you know what I mean?
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Which I get. I mean, you have, you know, you can't bring, you know, poison to the flock, right? I understand right. The idea, but yeah, it's crazy. Like you don't need a degree to say that you're right with God.
Right. So it's,
that's impressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, but a lot of growing up, a lot of the pastors I knew, they started a church, they grew mm-hmm. it. They didn't have the theology degree. They didn't mm-hmm. have all that. They read a Bible. They paid attention to people.
Yeah.
They learned, they did their research, things like that. I mean, look at a lot of the stuff. Like I do food service design. I have a degree in business, and I took a couple architectural classes way before where it was basically learning a basic program, what mm-hmm. seems basic now. I mean, it's still a very powerful program, but
sure.
For what I do, it's basic in comparison to my job.
Right.
I'm now an expert without a degree. I'm considered top-notch for what I do. And all this, while there's people going to school, getting degrees for what I do, and they're good at what they do, but they don't have the knowledge, the experience, things like this, to where it's sometimes understanding your knowledge, knowledge is not always wisdom, is yeah. what I've heard. And mm-hmm. understanding you can have, like my son, very smart kid, very good about what he does and all this. So it's not an issue for him. He can comprehend a lot of things. He has a lot of knowledge. His wisdom is not there. He right. doesn't know how to implement that wisdom.
Right. Comes with time, experience.
Right. And part of it.
And getting beaten down.
Yeah. I mean, trust me, I've been beaten down so many different ways.
Yeah. Speaking of the Bible, read the Psalms.
Yeah.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
But
that's where faith comes from, you know?
Exactly. But yeah, getting back to where my original rant started, the fact is that if you have like people going to church, they have the woke churches as well that's telling mm-hmm. them, oh, well, if you want to believe this, they're trying to tell you that the true God is the same as every other religion's God.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, no, that's not true. And mm-hmm. they read one line out of one of the books and tells you that it's pointing out all these things. Well, no, some of these lines or usings are meant to be examples of what not to do. But they limit what's being told, so they corrupt people in the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think with more people going to Christianity and the ones that see this and say, well, and as they start reading the Bible, they'll realize, hey, this is bad teaching, and hopefully they realize to go away.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's people out there who are what I call lazy parents, lazy people in the sense of if I make a comment and say, you know, I read that if you guzzle a gallon of lead, you will be as strong and hard as a rock. People's going to be like, oh, I better go out Now, the fact is research. Whatever we say, you can look into and say, hey, this sounds great, but this is what I found. And a discussion is always helpful in solving that problem. I think a lot of what it comes down to is people are too lazy to question what the teachers are telling them, question what authorities tell them, question what a pastor's telling them. Like, I hear Pastor Ron talk. I still will, if I have some questions of what he's saying, I have, I think I counted 12 Bibles in this house, in my house, and that's just adult Bibles, not including the kids' Bibles. So I have plenty of sources to look stuff up. I even have one version that has like the four major...
Parallel Bible.
Yeah, that's what it's called, Parallel Bible.
Where it has it's my favorite one.
So you can look at each one. And I've used these Bibles to kind of get a feel of what's being said and what's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, heck, I even have the Bible in audiobook.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but if you don't get the right version, my God, it will make you
want to... Depends on the narrator.
Yes. But
sometimes you're like, oh, gosh, okay.
This is a fantastic book to fall asleep to.
But to your point, though, like, you know, being able to ask those questions to Pastor Ron is so valuable because, like I said, the Bible's meant to be engaged with. You know,
it is.
You're supposed to question. You're supposed to ask questions. You know, there's a difference in asking questions and questioning. You know,
right.
I something tells me the Lord wouldn't take kindly to being questioned, but I can promise you that he welcomes the asking of questions.
I don't know. If you look at the Bible, most of the Bible is people questioning God. Look at what Jonah got. Mm-hmm. God told him to go to this village of their enemies, of his enemies and all this. Jonah's like, God, why? I don't want to go to these people. Now, today you would think, I'm not going to tell God I don't want to go do something. But in the Bible, a lot of it's, I don't want to do this. God, I'm not doing this. I'm going to hop on a boat and go so far away that there's no way you can make me do this.
Yeah. And well, God says, see what happens.
Yeah. God says, all right, fine, try that.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonah's like, okay, the ship hits a storm. The people are so frustrated that they're praying. And he's like, he comes out of the lower deck and says, guys, it's my fault. I've upset a God. He explains God to them,
mm-hmm.
the Christian God. And they prayed to the Christian God to stop it. And Jonah says, throw me off the boat. And they do. Jonah's then swallowed by most people say whale, but it's a large fish.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
So, but
Jonah and the large fish doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah. But the fact is you look at it in the sea, there were no whales. At least not that I knew of. But again, at that time, who knows what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But this large fish, whale, whatever, swallows Jonah. Jonah spent three days complaining and still trying to resist what God told him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he finally said, all right, fine, God, I give up. I will go. And then the fish spat him out onto the shore.
Mm-hmm.
He went to this village. Instead of saying, telling them, hey, God wants you to be saved. God wants this. He went there and said, the Christian God will be destroying you for your sins, for your blah, blah, blah. Be prepared for your demise. And then walked away and set a lawn chair up on the hill to watch the fireworks and see his enemies destroyed. His blatant disregard for trying to teach them made mm-hmm. them repent. They put on claw sacks or cheap, like some kind of cheap material that in that time meant that you were showing physically your remorse in all this. Even the ruler did it. And it goes on and on. The point of it was God's, if you question God, if you ask questions of God, he's some way going to show you how to do it. If God wants you to do something and you refuse to do it, God's going to guide you there the best way he's able to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the problem that comes into play in this scenario is a lot of people are no longer asking questions. They're not participating. They go home, they sit down, they want to look. They want to look like
they want
they're
the optics.
Yeah. And with you have the optics. Like I grew up with a lot of Sunday Christians and weekday sinners. You know what I mean? And I don't mean like I sin every day. Don't get me wrong.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. But I'm not intentionally going out having affairs. I'm not going out getting schnookered in every day of the week and doing all these things and then pretending to act like I'm better than somebody that is downtrodden, looking for something, but has not had the easiest time of life. And I think a bit of it is people think that they don't have to repent because they don't have the fear of God in them.
Mm-hmm.
There, a lot of people are being taught that God is your friend. God is loving. God is all these things. Yeah. God is a vengeful God.
Well, that's a modern interpretation.
You go back and
read things like Aquinas and things like that. It's a different picture. And exactly. I love people like Wes Huff. I mean, I've come to Christianity through apologism. It's been, that's kind of like my shtick. But he, I do take issue sometimes because he really stresses this phrase. He says it over and over. He says, it's not what you do, it's what Jesus did. And it's like, yeah, I get that, but that's not the whole picture. And you can't, like you said, you can't be a Christian on Sunday morning, and then walk out of there and do whatever you want. I mean, and yes, I get it. Jesus died on the cross in compensation for our sins. And as a result, we have access to God in heaven, upon our death. Great. I understand all that, but that's not the whole story. You can't, accepting Jesus into your heart means a whole lot more than just saying, hey, hey, come on in. what I mean? it means a lot more than that. To continue the analogy, you have to make a suitable home in which for God to preside.
Exactly.
What I mean? Yeah.
One I heard, and I forget where I heard this, but somebody said that somebody was talking to a pastor and they said, well, I don't want to become a Christian because I don't want to give up this. And the pastor says, well, don't. And he says, okay, but the Bible says it's a sin. He goes, yes. And you will hear me preach about it being a sin. You will hear all these things of what I said. The guy says, well, I like being with these girls. And he says, okay. He says, we are not asking you to change. You come to us and you listen. You accept Jesus into your life. You will then change, not because we want you to, not because we tell you to, because as the Spirit of Jesus comes into you, you will find that you want to be better. You want to have that. So, and I'll admit.
Yeah, I can agree with that partially.
Yeah, and a lot of it comes down, yeah, you should want to change to be better, this and that, but the more you kind of go into that, and I believe having a good faith in Christianity will also make you a better father, because one, like you said, in Corinthians, it talks about a man standing ready, a man standing watch, and all these pillars that makes us better men. When without that, if you don't have a strong foundation, if you don't have, like right now we're both sitting in a house, our feet are on floors, like right now my feet's on a concrete slab with the flooring on top of it, and I'm not worried about myself sinking down into the ground because I know, one, this house has been here for many years, long before I've owned it.
Right. Experience and tells me that's not likely to happen.
Right. Yeah. But if I buy a new house, and my world is largely in the construction world. So if I buy a new house and I'm walking around and I see that they're putting boards up and they're like, oh, we don't do concrete anymore. I'm going to look at them and go, so let me get this straight. You're putting just boards up, foaming the inside of it, And now they don't do this, but I'm just as an example. So you're telling me that my subwalls are and my foundation will be wood and air foam for insulation. And that's supposed to keep me safe. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna say no. I want something secure. I want something that I know will hold up long past my time. And I'm not gonna let them save a couple bucks to risk my life and my family's life so that they can feel good about themselves and not care once they walk away. The same thing goes with Christianity and how we build our families. You put down a solid concrete wall to keep the basements, if you have a basement, keep the basement walls from coming in. You put in a solid concrete base underneath your feet so that the floors don't rot away and you fall through. There's things we do to make our foundation stronger. And as fathers, we need to metaphorically build that up so that our families are going to be stronger, smarter, and able to grow a family of their own without collapsing. Because if you're not a strong man, you're going to fall to whatever comes your way. You could marry a woman that's just going to try to beat you down until you give up and, all right, well, it is what it is. I don't care. You know what I mean? Oh, whatever. You got me, blah, blah, blah. So I think, I don't know. Personally, I think that we need to find people. We need to find the people that have not been led right. And we don't need to push them into the Bible. But like you said earlier, lead by example. I think we lead by example. We meet people. People listen to what we say. And people can look at whatever I do online, whatever I do in real life. I make sure that my real life actions match what I say here, what I say to my kids. So they can see I'm not doing anything that is one thing while I'm saying something else. I'm not saying you should never drink while I have a bottle of Maker's Mark behind me, a bottle of wine probably blurred out right behind that picture, all these things. I mean, I just bottled 30 bottles of,
This has rum in it. No, it's more
you
like
know, someday,
probably arsenic. Just kidding.
probably I'm drinking coffee, so yeah, there's
You'll see
probably
me
some.
you'll see me on the news next week.
But the general overall is that I'm not saying one thing doing another. And I think what a lot of people will find is you have people that are more focused about how many clicks, how many likes, how many views they're getting. And don't get me wrong, I've looked at our numbers through the podcast, through the audio, through YouTube, and even some of the social media. But you know, I got to the point that I really don't look at our numbers on
Doesn't
social
really matter,
media.
man. I mean, we're here talking about this kind of stuff for us, and
Exactly.
we're
But
building this up for we're building a strong foundation for our families, and if other men decide to come along and listen and engage, just like we're supposed to do with the word,
right.
engage and build good foundations for themselves and their families, then the world's all the better because of it, and we're not perfect. I mean, the stuff's a lot easier.
No.
Like Jim Rohn says, the stuff's a lot easier to talk about than it is to do.
Right.
But the first step is talking about it. So we're
Oh,
building
yeah.
that foundation. You mentioned it made me think of another verse. That's what I was looking at my notes to try and remember what the verse is, but it's in 1 Peter 3, which is like the it's titled Wives and Husbands. It's kind of the whole section where Peter kind of talks about that. But he says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it's better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. And I thought that's fascinating because you talk about building that good foundation and being an example. And, you should have the arguments. Yes, you should have defense for what you believe. Yes, you should honor Christ in all you do. But at the end of the day, being a good person is sufficient. In fact,
Right.
it's not only sufficient, it's paramount. It's so important that God says, if you do good and suffer, then you're actually better off, you know, than the alternative, you know. And that's, I don't know, that's a deep thing to truly understand, you know. Lead by example, be a testament to who you are and what you expect of others, and, you know, lead your children in that direction. And hopefully one day they'll stand as a testament as well. You know, they'll stand as a testament not only to goodness, not only to Christ, but a testament to you as a father, you know, because they're another pillar in the construction of that building, of that family structure, you know. And they'll be a foundation for their own family in the future, hopefully. You know?
Right. And yeah. I think that's the big thing is we need that. I mean, like, let's look at, in all truth, like 3 years ago when this started, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was a Christian, but I wouldn't say I was a knocking down the walls kind of Christian, you know?
Sure.
Pancakes, he flat out said, I'm not a Christian. My kid goes to a Christian school, but only because, and he gave all these reasons. Mm-hmm, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
And
I believe in all the things that Christianity values, but I just don't believe the one thing that, you know. Well,
look at it. A lot of people will sit there and say, like, what is it? I've listened to lots of debates and discussions. It's something I get into. And one thing that I've noticed is you always hear people talk about Christian values as world values.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there going, well, no, because the fact comes down to is a lot of these things that we value as modern values were only brought in per values that were taught by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Like helping the poor, not having the government help the poor, but you and I helping our fellow man. That is a complete, in the stretch of humanity, that is a new concept that came in from Jesus' teachings. The fact of raising your kids to love God and respect him and things like that, value the children, that came in as a teaching of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these things was women, like even women's rights, respecting women came in through Christianity, because before that, women were property. Children were property until they got to a certain age.
Read the Quran if you want to learn about that.
Exactly. So,
well, the Richard Dawkins, he even says, you know, he uses the phrase, he says, I'm a cultural Christian. I'm like, well, I think that's fascinating, because I mean, and I understand what he's trying to say, but I think it's fascinating. And he's like, well, I would prefer Christianity to Islam, or, you know, and it's like, okay, well, you know, is it true because it works, or does it work because it's true?
Exactly. And it's,
you know,
one of those things. It's like capitalism. You might want to say how bad capitalism is. Crony capitalism, I will say, is bad, but capitalism itself is a good thing, because you give, like, all right, so you have Johnny down the street, who he's a good guy, hard worker, all these things. But if George in the next town over didn't start a factory or start a business,
mm-hmm.
then Johnny would be sitting there going, okay, well, how am I going to feed my family?
Right.
Maybe I'll grow some plants and try to sell my crops, or maybe I'll try to learn a trade. And he's a hard worker, but he's not smart enough to figure out how to create something himself. He needs instructions. He needs people to guide him. He needs help with what he's doing. And there's nothing wrong with that. But without having somebody to guide it, build it, take the risks, do all these things, because not everybody's going to be willing to take a risk and start a business, do something to get themselves up. It's like, having kids is a risk. You risk your time, your energy, your future. You risk them growing up and hating you. I mean, there's a thousand different. You also risk constant hugs, kids falling asleep on your lap, having conversations. Well,
you're also following the will of God.
Exactly.
Be fruitful and multiply. It's not.
Yeah. So I mean,
not that hard to understand that.
Oh, I agree. But let's do this. We're going to be ranting for quite some time, because obviously, and the cat's trying to have her tail interact with our show more than she needs to. But how about this? How about we end it, because I kind of have stuff that I have to do, plus I have to get my son done with his spelling.
Yeah. Speaking of kids, I just got off work, so
yeah, so spend some time. Where do people find you if they want to reach out to you?
Well, on X at Earn Your Respect, obviously, as always, that's the best place to find me.
And then Call with Dads, callwithdads.com. You can find our podcast, find our YouTube listed there. A lot of the show summaries are going to be there. We do post the shorts on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Subscribe to us on YouTube and tell people about us. Callwithdads.com, Call with Dads, everywhere you go. Pretty easy to find us. So, and if you can't find us, go to the website, and we have all the links there to find us wherever you want to find us. So with that, we do appreciate everything. Tom, it's good to talk with you. We'll
As always, brother.
Yeah, so.
I'm going to go do my dad thing.
Sounds good. I'll talk with you soon.
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.